Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Hi there, just a piece of news. Did you hear about the Widnes Memorial that was unveiled for 62 forgotten World War I men? This has just come out in the news just now. Engraved stones have been unveiled to honour 62 forgotten men who died in World War I, but were not listed on Cheshire Town's cenotaph. The new memorial in Victoria Park Widnes follows researcher Michael McNicholas spotting the omissions as he worked on a book about the war. His mammoth task took him all over Europe to track the men's histories. A service attended by military representatives was held at the park earlier today, and today we're talking about the 7th of March. When the cenotaph was built, it was believed that the families of the 62 local men had moved away or did not respond to a request for their names to be added. And McNicholas, when he was doing his research, he said he kept finding the names of these men from Widnes who were not listed in the cenotaph, and he found many more when he investigated it. It's now fitting, he said, that we should honour these men and remember the sacrifices that they made. It is important, isn't it, to recognise those who paid a great price to give us freedom. The Bible talks in similar terms about the Lord Jesus. It says this, "Remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, raised from the dead, according to my gospel." That statement about Jesus raised from the dead is an inference that he died upon the cross. And, you know, we have to remember that. Remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Never forget that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But there's a wonderful thing that God does. He doesn't forget. But the Bible says when we trust him, our sins and our iniquities, he will remember no more. Yes, it's right to remember those who gave their lives in sacrifice for us. It's also right to remember Jesus, the Son of God. Dr. Luke's Diaries. I don't know what you think about Jesus Christ, but Dr. Luke, in the record that he has retained for us, that has been preserved for us in the Bible, tells us a lot of things about Jesus. It tells us a lot of things about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 47 is this, that the soldier who was the squad commander who was involved that day in executing the criminals and nailing Jesus to the cross, when he observed how Jesus behaved and what was done and the earthquake that took place and all the circumstances that day, he said this. Well, it says about him, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." You go to another gospel writer and they record that he also said, "Surely this was the Son of God." My simple question to you today is this. What is your opinion about Jesus Christ? And is it a realistic opinion? You know, there are many people who don't like Jesus. There are many people who don't want to believe that he was the Son of God. But there are few, if any, who have ever demonstrated authentically that he was anything else than a unique man, than a man with supernatural ability, than a man who was perfect, than a man who taught wonderful things and never stepped out of line or ever did anything that was in contradiction to what he taught. This man saw the Lord Jesus Christ, as I would refer to him. This man saw Jesus upon the cross, suffering. He saw him in agony. He saw him when most men were at their worst. And yet he saw him pray for those who nailed him to the cross. He saw him concerned about the welfare of his mother. He saw him forgive a sinful man beside him before he died. He saw him cry to his Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" He cried to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" And he saw that this man was unique. I wonder if you believe in Jesus. It would be wonderful if you did. Here are a few unusual news items that I spotted this week. Marks and Spencers have recently been noted for having on their list of banned words in gift messages the words Jesus Christ. They've been forced to remove these words when actually the order was made by a church, and because it was the Church of Jesus Christ, their order was banned. So they were asked to remove it because of a backlash from its customers. The ban emerged because this church, Christ Church in Teddington, wanted to buy a funeral bouquet. It's not terrible really to think that the words Jesus Christ are so offensive to people that you can't have them on a gift list in a major retail store. Another interesting one is Liverpool striker Daniel Sturridge. He says he reads the Bible every day. He was encouraged to read the Bible on a daily basis as a child by his parents. He says, it's part of my routine and I do it every day. Sturridge, who joined Liverpool 2 years ago, said he owed his success to his parents. He still joins them for dinner each Sunday with other family members. It's interesting, isn't it? Wonder how much importance you would put on the Bible, reading the Bible. Also noticed here that a British archaeologist, Dr. Ken Dark, said that the humble first century home in Nazareth, northern Israel, could have been the type of place where Mary and Joseph brought up Jesus. Interesting just to see some of the things that are discovered. I wonder how much emphasis you put on the things of God, and wonder how much emphasis you put on truth being verified by historical records, by books, by archaeological digs. We as Christians believe that it is the truth, and we believe that it should be supportable by evidence, but we believe that ultimately faith in God is the means of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. News with views for today. Life questions. Here's a good question. Why does God let random shootings, fatal accidents, and other horrible things occur? Since we believe that God is the author of this planet and is sovereign over it, it's inevitable that we ask where he is when these terrible things take place. I think the Bible answers that over and over again, from different angles and in different ways. We find our first answer, of course, in the book of Genesis, in which we're told of the fall of humanity. God's immediate response to the transgression of the human race against his rule and authority was to curse the earth and human life. Death and suffering entered the world as a direct result of sin. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. We see the concrete manifestation of this in the realm of nature, where thorns become part of the garden, and human life is now characterized by the sweat of the brow and the pain that attends even the birth of a baby. This illustrates the fact that the world in which we live in is a place that is full of sorrows and tragedy. However, we can't conclude that there's a one-to-one correlation between suffering and the guilt of the people in whom the tragedies fall. If there was no sin in the world, there would be no suffering. There'd be no fatal accidents, no random shootings. Because sin is present, the world, suffering is present. But it doesn't always work out that if you have 5 pounds of guilt, you're going to get 5 pounds of suffering. That's the perception that the book of Job dispels, as Jesus' answer also was to the man who was about the question about the man born blind. He kind of deals with that issue in John chapter 9, where people are questioning, was the man blind because of something he had done, or was he blind for any other reason? And they asked Jesus the question, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The Lord Jesus was actually saying that this man was allowed to be in these sad circumstances because God had a point to prove to humanity. Hard for us to grasp. Now, on the other hand, the Bible makes it clear that God lets these things happen, and in a certain sense ordains that they come to pass as part of the present situation that the world is under judgment. God hasn't removed death from the world yet. And whether it's what we would consider an untimely death or a violent death, death is part of the nature of things. The only promise is that there will one day come when suffering will cease altogether. That's because Jesus died to deal with the curse, died to bring eternal life. So the disciples, they also asked these questions, Jesus' disciples. They said, for instance, when the Galileans' blood was mingled with the sacrifices by Pilate, or 18 people who were killed when a temple collapsed, how could this be? Jesus' response was almost severe. He said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So what he did was bring the question back to the fact that moral wickedness makes it feasible for God to allow these kinds of dreadful things to take place in a fallen world. Actually, he's levelling the question at us. Not why does God allow, but why do we do things that are wrong? The answer and provision for our flawed nature and the wrong things we do is to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. He can save you, forgive you, and bless you if you will let him. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org. UK. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.